This is Basketball Central on Sportsnet 650 with Marcus Fitzgerald.
Tuesday night, Basketball Central, Sportsnet 650. Marcus Fitzgerald with you on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Welcome, as always, to the program. Doing this for another week, getting ever so closer to the NBA regular season. We're about a week away from training camp really getting going in earnest. That's hard to believe because, again, the season ended on October the 10th, and here we are on the 24th of November getting set for another regular season that will start up very soon, December 22nd. We are less than a month away from the start of the regular season as well. The 72-game set, it's going to be a bit of a sprint, and it's certainly felt like a sprint in the NBA over the last few days anyway. I mean, free agency opened on Friday, and we have all this news to decipher and crawl through here. Lots has gone down in the last 3 or 4 days. Fred VanVleet met the media in Toronto today talking about his new contract that he signed over the weekend, a 4-year deal, $85 million for an undrafted player out of Wichita State, a great story for the NBA, a great story for Toronto, and a great story for that organization's level of player development, which is right up there with anyone in the NBA. So good stuff from the Raptors there. We'll get into that with Stephen Lung of Sportsnet.ca. He's going to join us in a little bit. We'll talk about the Fred VanVleet contract. We'll also talk about some changes in Toronto, too, some familiar faces heading out the door, and Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka, both of those players going to California. Ibaka signing a deal with the Clippers to reunite with Kawhi Leonard, and Marc Gasol joining LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers. We will get into a little later on in the show as well who may have won free agency. Lots of people saying that the Lakers were that group given the changes that they made. They also managed to lure Montrezl Harrell across the hallway to their dressing room to sign a 2-year, $19 million deal. They get the sixth man of the year, steal him away from the Clippers and sign him. Dennis Schroeder is now in the fold in Los Angeles as well. Already mentioned Marc Gasol. They're excited about him out in Lakerland. So there's that. The Bucks have made their moves. The trades have been made official now. Jrue Holiday is a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. Steven Adams, as a part of that deal, goes from Oklahoma City to the New Orleans Pelicans. So it's a bit of a end of an era there. The Portland Trail Blazers have made some changes. They look like they could be a contender for the top half of the postseason in the Western Conference. I'll also talk about a little later on the show who would be, you know, viable MVP finalists this season. Given the quick turnaround, some of these contending teams have big names, big stars that played a lot in the bubble, and I'm sure that there's going to be some big names, you know, using their opportunity to get some rest. I don't want to say load management, but we may see some of that in the regular season this year with the LeBron James types, with Kawhi Leonard. But there's going to be teams who have lead dogs who are going to need those guys every night to be competitive, particularly in the Western Conference. And there are three players, at least in the West, who I think could absolutely contend for MVP this season. We'll talk about the Eastern Conference maybe next week. It's a little more clear-cut in the East. It is certainly Giannis and everybody else. But breaking news today as we tape this show, the big story right off the top, Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat is set to sign his rookie contract extension. It'll be a 5-year deal, $163 million. It could go up to $195 as well. There's some escalating clauses and incentives there. But that's the big news of the day, and that's where we start. And this is a big story because Bam Adebayo was a mid-first-round pick. He wasn't a top-three guy out of Kentucky, out of that system with John Calipari, where it's full of one-and-dones. And Bam Adebayo's really developed now into one of the premier big men in the NBA, especially when you consider how the game is played and how important these unicorn bigs are. You've got Nikola Jokic, you've got Anthony Davis, and then every team in the league is trying to find a guy like that. Well, the Miami Heat have that guy. They have that guy in Bam Adebayo, and they're not messing around. And here's where it gets interesting, because we know, and we've said on this show, and everybody, in NBA circles has expected the Miami Heat to make a push for Giannis Antetokounmpo next offseason. They have that great core in place. This is a team that just made the NBA Finals in the bubble. And now Pat Riley, a month after saying that they don't want to screw up their flexibility, have essentially screwed up their flexibility, but in the same time frame, they take care of one of their own in Bam Adebayo, five-year deal, $163 million, one of the best bigs in the league, certainly one step down from Anthony Davis, but played pretty well in the finals, and he also played hurt in the finals as well. This is a key piece to a Miami team that hopes to contend for a long time, but you wonder where this is going to put them for next season. Because Giannis was always going to be linked towards Miami. Giannis was going to be linked towards Toronto as well. The second year of that Van Vliet contract has a little less on it. A little bit less. So Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster can make sure that there's enough in the summer of 2021, or whatever the offseason is, really, that they can make a push for Giannis as well. Miami is making a bit of a statement by getting Bam paid now, which is an act of good faith towards him by the organization. That's a good sign there. But again, it was October the 23rd that Pat Riley said, hey, look, we want to take care of Bam. We want to take care of our own, but we don't want to mess up our flexibility. What changed between now and then? Between October the 23rd and it was a month ago. It was a month ago. Only a month has gone by. What changed? What changed there? Does Miami know something? Have the Bucks done enough to convince Giannis to stick around and sign that five-year extension? Has Giannis, you know, said to the Bucks that, hey, with all these moves, I'll probably sign. I'm just not going to do it just yet. Don't forget, Anthony Davis still hasn't re-signed with the Lakers. It's all a framework thing, and we could see a deal in place by Thursday. There's some rumblings that by U.S. Thanksgiving, the Lakers could have all the, you know, I's dotted and T's crossed on the Davis contract as well. That's coming up in a couple of days. It could be a similar scenario with the Bucks and Giannis. They just want to iron out some certain things. But what does Miami know here? Because Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bam Adebayo share the same agent. They do. This is a fact. Also, next season, the number of players that Miami actually has under contract, it's Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Avery Bradley, who they signed to a two-year deal. And that's about it. Everybody else, team option. Even Tyler Hero, it's a team option going into next summer. Miami has worked the cap quite brilliantly here. And it's possible that, well, maybe they could go get Giannis, even with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo making over $30 million in the fold. They would have to move some players out, certainly, and Tyler Hero would probably have to be a key piece there. Kelly Olynyk also opted in for this season, but again, that's not next season. Miami's done a great job making sure they're lined up for the Giannis summer. And you have to wonder if A, they know something about Giannis and the Bucks, or B, they know that maybe Giannis isn't going anywhere else, and they might as well, in good faith, show one of their guys, one of their key components in Bam Adebayo that, yes, you are a guy, and we're going to pair you with Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, who they will have to pay after this season as well. Kendrick Nunn, too. I mean, they've got some good players in Miami. That finals run wasn't an accident. We talked about it on this show. They were good last year, and they're going to be good in the years to come. It'd be nice to have Giannis there, but if they don't, well, then you've still got a great piece in Bam Adebayo as he signs a five-year, $163 million deal. That's the news of the day as we're taping on a Tuesday afternoon. Joining me now on Basketball Central, you can find his work at sportsnet.ca, where he does cover the Toronto Raptors. Stephen Leung joins us from out east. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us. We were talking what the offseason has been like for you. I know it's been a whirlwind, but I'm sure you must be excited to get back going again so quickly.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that I might need a bit more of a break, but, you know, like the basketball, it's just like pure adrenaline. The NBA offseason in the truncated has been very, very fun, you know, just like nonstop rumors flying. We saw over the weekend just how many deals were signed, how many hundreds of millions of dollars were signed in contracts. And, you know, like this is kind of what you live for here. Like if you're a basketball junkie, it's like Christmas came a little early here.
Well, I think Christmas came a little early for Bam Adebayo and maybe for the Miami Heat as well, based on what could happen in the next year in a bit. We'll get to the Raptors in just a second, Stephen, but The news of the day, I mean, yes, Brandon Ingram has signed his contract as well, $158 million, but Bam Adebayo was such a key piece in helping the Miami Heat get to the finals in the bubble. Just your thoughts on Miami and Bam coming to that agreement today and whether or not this is going to screw things up for them in the Giannis offseason.
I think, I mean, like, you just kind of hit the nail on the head right there. Like, by getting Bam done right now, I mean, he's clearly a franchise cornerstone for them. So, congratulations to him. Congratulations to Heat, because they clearly wanted to get this thing done. But, it kind of nukes their offseason, or I guess 2021 offseason flexibility. It doesn't allow them to go after a big fish. You know, like, not just Giannis, there's like Kawhi in there, and there's Paul George in there, Victor Oladipo, the list can go on and on with this free agency class. But, I mean, very clearly, the Miami Heat think they have something with this core that just went to the finals, led by Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, and you had to throw in Tyler Hero in the mix, and that they brought back Goran Dragic. So they're very confident. And perhaps rightly so, given what we just saw them do with this core moving forward. So we'll see if it works out for them. But I think you nailed it. Like, they did kind of like mess up some flexibility they could have possibly had.
Well, one thing that Bobby Webster and Masai Ujiri have decided to do with Fred VanVleet's new deal is leave in a little extra flexibility for that 2020-2021 summer and the following season, not for this season. So VanVleet gets the deal, $85 million over 4 years. He met with the media today. He had the backdrop with his own branding. He seems as humble as ever. Do you expect Fred's demeanor or his mindsets or just the way that he views things now to change at all? Can we still expect the same Fred, even though he's got all the money now?
I think when I was in that availability, so someone kind of asked him this question, and he said that basically, like, you guys know me, he was the exact same Fred. He seemed like the exact same Fred who came in as an undrafted rookie, as opposed to now the Fred VanVleet, who is an $85 million man. So I don't think his demeanor will change whatsoever. He's a pretty honest person. He will always be the same kind of person he's always been. And, that is very good news for us as media, because he is one of the go-to quotes on the beat, obviously, and he's just a great guy in general.
He said, Stephen, during this availability, that the process of the whole thing for him was fairly easy. Was there any concern at all that he would have even considered leaving, say, if the Pistons or Knicks backed up the Brinks truck? I mean, was there any, nerves at any point in the Raptor organization that he might leave if somebody overpays?
I think there was always going to be nerves if someone was going to overpay. But as you said, he was actually surprised at how easy the process was, because, like, perhaps the market wasn't getting as many offers as he thought he would, and the Raptors were very consistent in their messaging and very, very consistent with their offer. They're like, we're going to give you this, and it's very clearly that offer matched or exceeded anything else that he was going to get. Not to mention just like the loyalty on both sides. Obviously, the Raptors have taken care of him. He's taken care of the Raptors few years as becoming, one of the leaders of the team, one of the best players on the team. So I guess in that sense, I think some of the nerves were warranted, because there could have been some big offers out there. But as we saw, his market kept shrinking and shrinking as the offseason went along into free agency. And then it just came down to a choice really between the Knicks or the Raptors. And I think the Raptors are going to win that 100 times out of 100.
Mm-hmm. He was effusive, Stephen Lung of Sportsnet.ca joining us on Basketball Central. He was effusive of his praise of Kyle Lowry today. Lowry's had a tremendous influence on his career. Do you think both of those guys will be comfortable on the court this season, undergoing a sort of passing of the torch in Tampa Bay? Because we know that Lowry only has 1 year left. I mean, he's certainly not a lame duck with the Raptor organization, but there's obviously a torch passing underway. Do you think both of these guys will be comfortable with that?
If there is a torch passing, I'm still not entirely convinced, just because, I mean, it'd be a bad idea to bet against Kyle Lowry, not just finding another gear. This is what he's done his entire career. So I will not make the mistake of saying that he's done now. right? But to answer your question, if there is a torch passing, I think they'll be fine. Like Fred touched about like this relationship he's had with Kyle since he's came on as a rookie. Like Kyle and I believe Fred kind of considers Kyle like one of his best friends. And he's had wonderful things to say about Kyle, how like his career probably couldn't be what it was without kind of Lowry kind of almost taking him under his wing and kind of showing him the ropes and showing how to be a professional. So like, I don't think like Lowry would have any problem with kind of Fred maybe being more of the feature guard in the Raptors backcourt. I mean, he may actually welcome it, right? Mm-hmm. But these two guys, they have a great relationship with each other. They're obviously very close friends. And, you know, like friends don't exactly get jealous of each other. At least they shouldn't, right?
Yeah. In theory, of course. That's usually how it goes. Well, I mean, it is a sign of the times, Steve, in Toronto. Like, we know that the next generation of Raptor basketball, for however long Kyle Lowry sticks around, it's going to be Fred. It's going to be Pascal Siakam. And it's going to be OG Anunoby. Now, I was putting this show together, talking about OG and how the Raptors don't have to make a move on him now, much in the same way that the Miami Heat didn't have to take care of Bam Adebayo right away. But lo and behold, they did that today before we went to tape. With the Raptors and OG, can they afford to wait, you know, this season just to see how things go? Or do you think with the Bam contract signing today, do you think that pressures the Raptors to make a decision a little more quickly on an OG Anunoby?
I think the way this Raptors offseason has worked, it's very clear that they are going to wait, or at least in my opinion, that they're going to wait until the summer to get OG done. Right? Mm-hmm. Like you saw what happened with the center situation with losing Gasol and Ibaka. They kind of got caught with the hand in the cookie jar, like where they were clearly looking ahead to 2021, and that didn't exactly align with Gasol and Ibaka's goals there. So then the Raptors went out and then made, I think, pretty good moves in getting like Alex Len and Aaron Baines, you know, kind of stopgap measures there to kind of proceed with this grand plan of theirs, which is obviously tied around this massive 2021 free agency. And so OG Anunoby would have to kind of fall in line with that because they're probably need as much cap flexibility, like to keep a max slot open to go after someone in 2021. So I still believe that like OG is one of their franchise cornerstones. I don't think he's going anywhere. And yes, he is with Clutch Sports, you know, and they may want to play hardball a little with the Raptors. But ultimately, I think the Raptors will get the deal done with OG. It just may not happen, you know, like by December 21st, which was like the rookie extension deadline. It'll probably have to happen in the summer when he's a restricted free agent.
Well, it's such an interesting transition in the Raptor organization right now, Steve, because talking about OG eventually, hopefully getting re-signed in Toronto, but, you know, two cornerstones and two popular members of the championship team and Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka, now not a part of the group anymore. Can you surmise what those two meant to that organization during their time here over the last 2-3 years?
Yeah, I mean, like they are part of like what I think will go down, like I guess Toronto sports lore at the very least, as like one of the most beloved teams in like the history of the city. You know, like with all the other championship teams that Toronto has had, you know, like that great team that won the championship in 2019. They don't win the championship without Marc Gasol, right? Like Gasol was the linchpin kind of like defense, like defender there in the back. But he kind of shut down Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? When Giannis came driving into the lane, Gasol was back there saying no, and like just completely flummoxed Giannis. He did not know what to do against it. Mm-hmm. Same with like Serge Ibaka. Like everyone remembers the Kawhi shot, but it was Serge Ibaka who hit the shot before the shot, you know, yeah. Like he hit that clutch jumper that set up Kawhi's great moment. So like you don't win a championship without these two great players. And it's sad to say goodbye because they are great players. They were great for the city. They embraced the city. But ultimately, this is the cost of doing business in the NBA. Like, it's kind of cold, but like that's just kind of the way it is. And I think, like for me personally, like I always had, I didn't think both of them were coming back. I had a, like, I was thinking perhaps Serge Ibaka might be coming back, but seeing him go, it's like, well, you know, like this is just the way the market worked out. Like, it was always going to be a new era in Raptors basketball coming this season here, in my opinion.
Steve, I'll let you out on this one. The Raptors in Tampa Bay this year, is anything going to be different than when it was in the bubble? Does your day-to-day in covering this team, is that going to change at all? How do you think this is going to play out over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months here?
My hope is, you know, like obviously they start in Tampa, and there's going to be training camp and everything's going to be done via Zoom and whatnot. But my hope is that, like, the world kind of gets back to normal here in a little bit in the new year, and the NBA has purposely split their season. Remember, like these two halves. Mm-hmm. So like there'll be an All-Star break in quotes because there's not going to be an All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
But I'm hoping during that All-Star break, the Raptors may be able to work out a way to return home, you know, and possibly like fill some seats. I'm not really sure what the state of the world might be. There may be a vaccine, there may not, but maybe have some folks in the crowd, and like maybe like bring them some of the media back and into the arena so we can get back to covering these guys in person, because I do believe that like while the Zoom availabilities have been great, you know, like the PR staffs have done the best they can in a very strange and awkward position, you do lose a lot when you're trying to cover a team, when you can't kind of just filter into the locker room and just hear like just hear random conversations. Mm-hmm. and just like chat up people like off the record. Like these are where some of the best human interest stories come from every locker room in every sport, really. Like this is kind of the reason why you have people on the ground in the first place.
Steven, thanks so much for doing this, and enjoy the upcoming season as best you can, even though for the first little bit it's going to be over Zoom. But thanks again, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot, Marcus.
All right, that is Steven Leung of Sportsnet.ca joining us via Zoom here on Basketball Central, talking Raptors, where they go from here. Things are looking a little bit different now. Again, no Marcus Saul, no Serge Ibaka. Fred VanVleet, though, sticking around, and OG Anunoby, you would think, is going to hang around as well, but the Raptors have some time before making a call on OG. Now, the Miami Heat taking things in a different direction today. Expected and set to sign Bam Adebayo to a 5-year deal, $163 million, as the draft class for 2017 continues to cash in. Back with more. We'll talk more about the Adebayo contract in Miami, how that changes things in the race for Giannis this coming off season. Also, three players in the Western Conference to look out for in the MVP race, and maybe not the three you'd be thinking of right off the top of the bat. We'll get back to it in a little bit. You've got it on the home of the Canucks. This is Basketball Central on Sportsnet 650.
Basketball Central continues on Sportsnet 650 with your host, Marcus Fitzgerald.
I feel like I was just on another planet.
Back at it, Tuesday Night Basketball Central. Marcus Fitzgerald with you. You're on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Bearing down on an NBA regular season less than a month away, December the 22nd, will be opening night. Training camp starting in about a week. December the 1st is when things really officially get going, and they're actually going to work a preseason in there as well. I don't know how well attended that's going to be by some of the bigger names in these markets, but it's pretty strange to be talking about a new NBA season when we just ended it less than a month ago, a little over a month ago. Hasn't been that long. It's been a whirlwind of free agent activity. Teams have won free agency. Teams have lost free agency. Teams have made big splashes, I should say. Making big splashes. That's just lousy grammar on my part. Made big splashes. You talk about the Atlanta Hawks. They had money to spend, and they burned it, really. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Danilo Gallinari, Rajon Rondo to add to the Trae Young, John Collins, Kevin Huerter core that they have in Atlanta, trying to take a shot in the Eastern Conference. The West is loaded. The East, some more questions there. Some more questions there, certainly. The Bucks have loaded up again. That trade is now official. Jrue Holiday is a Milwaukee Buck. DJ Augustine also signing a deal with the Milwaukee Bucks as well. So the Bucks have done what they can to try to entice Giannis to stay. Now, at the time we're taping this on a Tuesday afternoon, Giannis hasn't signed yet. And obviously there's plenty of time still to come before Giannis has to make that decision. I don't know how long he lets the Bucks sweat things out. Again, maybe the Bucks know something that we don't. Maybe Giannis knows something that we don't. One interesting move that happened today, in fact, it was the big story of the day. We thought going into the day that the big story would be Fred VanVleet talking to the media in Toronto about his new contract, $85 million over 4 years, as free agency opened on Friday. But the big story was the fact that the Miami Heat are going to be re-signing Bam Adebayo to a five-year, $163 million deal, a contract that will be kicking in next season as the 2017 draft class continues to cash in. Bam is not the only one here. Jason Tatum getting his big deal from the Celtics, $195 over five. Donovan Mitchell getting the same contract from the Utah Jazz. De'Aaron Fox getting $163 over five for the Sacramento Kings, because the Kings have to do something to stay competitive in the Pacific Division, which is now loaded thanks to the Chris Paul trade. Also some big news in that Pacific Division that happened after we did the show last week. Klay Thompson out for the year again with an Achilles injury. Some terrible news for Klay. He's one of the best players in the NBA, one of the most fun players to watch in the association on a nightly basis. I'll miss him. A lot of people will. A lot of people around the NBA wishing him well, and that's just a tough run of luck for the Warriors and for Klay Thompson. And maybe that's a sign of five straight trips to the finals really wearing on a guy. I mean, Klay got hurt in the 2019 finals against the Raptors, tore the ACL, spent the entire last season recovering from that, and then it was during a pickup run in Los Angeles, which is something that NBA players do in the offseason all the time, that Klay hurt the Achilles, and now he'll be out for the season. And who knows how effective he'll be again. I mean, we're coming into a season where we're going to see Kevin Durant on the floor again. We haven't seen Durant since the 2019 finals as well. He came off an Achilles injury. He might be okay, but he might not. He could be Kevin Durant at 85%. Even when Klay comes back, he could be Klay Thompson at 85%. We don't know. We don't know, and that's the scary thing with these Achilles injuries. Happened to Kobe Bryant in year 13. He was never the same after that. So I wish Klay well, and I hope he comes back strong in a year's time. Would have loved to have seen him play in that new-look Warrior offense, that new old look. And that brings us to, A, back to the story of the day, which I want to reset. In case you're joining us late, Bam Adebayo to re-sign with the Miami Heat, 5 years, $163 million, a deal that will kick in next season. And as you hear that, you think to yourself, well, wait a minute. Miami was supposed to be a contender for Giannis Antetokounmpo. This kind of jettisons that cap space in order to have that second max guy behind Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy Butler already has that max contract, and now Bam appears to be that second max deal in the fold. What I want to know is what happened between a month ago and now. Because a month ago, Pat Riley talked to the media via Zoom and said, hey, look, we want to take care of Bam, but we don't really want to jettison that cap space either. We got to, you know, balance that line. Well, the Miami Heat took a dive past that line today in signing Bam to this extension. It shows that he is a part of the future there, and there's no doubt that he is. I mean, he was a massive reason why they made the finals. You can credit Jimmy Butler all you want. You can talk about Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, but Bam Adebayo is what you want in an NBA big these days. He is the perfect modern NBA big. Everybody's trying to find Anthony Davis. Well, Anthony Davis doesn't grow on trees. There's Anthony Davis, there's Nikola Jokic, and then after that, well, Bam Adebayo's right there. He is one of the most valuable bigs in the game today. So I don't begrudge Miami or Pat Riley at all for making that move and making sure that he's taken care of. That's a contract that Bam deserves, especially when you look at the rest of his draft class. Donovan Mitchell gets 195 over 5. Donovan Mitchell's never played in a conference finals. De'Aaron Fox hasn't even played in the playoffs. He got 163 over 5, and you're going to trot Bam Adebayo out there into a lame duck contract year? You know he's going to stick around in Miami. He just didn't know what the number was going to be. What if Bam got hurt this season? You have to do right by the player sometimes, and in this case, the Miami Heat doing right by the player. We also have some more breaking news. Another young NBA star getting paid, Brandon Ingram of the New Orleans Pelicans, signing his big fat new contract, 5 years, $158 million. So another instance of these young guys getting paid, the next era of the NBA. They're all starting to cash in. So Brandon Ingram is the latest there. Some breaking news happening just now as we tape this on a Tuesday afternoon. Brandon Ingram getting his contract extension. Some people were wondering when that was going to happen as the dominoes continued to fall in this class of 2017. I know Ingram was the year before that. That was the Ben Simmons draft year. So Ingram had to wait a little bit longer. I don't think there was any doubt that the Pelicans were going to pay Brandon Ingram. He had a great year. He was an all-star this season. Most improved player of the year, certainly most improved in that he didn't have to play with LeBron James anymore. He had the ball in his hands a lot more in New Orleans, particularly when Zion was missing all that time. And now the Pelicans are in a spot where, again, they are intriguing. They had to trade Drew Holiday. They land a veteran center in Steven Adams. Wonder what that's going to do spacing-wise. You have Brandon Ingram. You have a veteran in George Hill now coming over in that deal. Zion, if he stays healthy, how effective is he going to be in year two? How much better is he going to be? Lonzo Ball, can he be better after having a terrible stretch in the bubble? You almost feel for Lonzo Ball a little bit because, again, that class is 17. All these guys that were drafted around Lonzo, Lonzo went number two. Bam Adebayo later in that first round. De'Aaron Fox, the fifth overall pick. Jason Tatum was picked third. Donovan Mitchell, 13th. They all get paid. I wonder what Lonzo's thinking right now. When is it my turn? Does Lonzo go somewhere else? Does he end up somewhere else? Does he end up somewhere like New York? Do you see Lonzo in New York with the Knicks as the Knicks continue to lay low in free agency, making some subtle moves, most subtly signing Austin Rivers this week, 3-year deal, $10 million. There's lots of things still to come, lots of dominoes still to fall in place. But again, that takes us back to Bam Adebayo and what a great deal this is for Miami. Now, there is a possibility next summer that, you know, maybe Pat Riley being the ultimate in this situation, because don't forget, it was only 10 years ago that LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh all took less to play in Miami. There was kind of this under-the-table, wink-wink, all right, we'll set up our extensions the right way so we can come together somewhere and all play, and we'll take less to do so. A lot has to happen here if Miami is in play for Giannis, and if Giannis doesn't re-sign with the Bucks, if he doesn't sign that 5-year contract, and he hasn't yet at the time we're taping this, if Giannis doesn't re-sign, and he considers Miami, there's obviously going to be some things that Pat Riley will have to do. Now, Pat Riley has set things up in Miami where pretty much no one is under contract after this season, aside from, of course, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. Avery Bradley signed a 2-year deal. Goran Dragic signed a 2-year deal for $37 million, but that's not guaranteed for next year. Pat Riley is the godfather at this. Rob Pelinka got a lot of credit for retooling the Lakers, but Pat Riley continues to lurk. He continues to be one of the best at this. And you could foresee a scenario. They would have to move some pieces out, and that would include Tyler Hero. You let Duncan Robinson go probably as well. But I could foresee a scenario where maybe he convinces Giannis to take a little bit less. Maybe they work some things around, and maybe you got a new big three in Miami. 11 years after the fact. 11 years after the summer of 2010. We've seen it happen before with Pat Riley in Miami. Don't be surprised. Now, don't be surprised at all if Giannis re-signs in Milwaukee, because Miami also doing this deal today suggests that maybe they know something, because Bam and Giannis have the same agent. They got the same agent. There could be some communication there. There could be. There could be. But, I mean, don't count Miami out. I mean, we talk about the Raptors and their core going forward. Fred VanVleet, that's set. Pascal Siakam, that's set. OG Anunoby is in a scenario where he's going into the final year of his contract. He will get paid, and I expect him to stay in Toronto, but there's no real rush right now for the Raptors with Anunoby at this point. So they could be in contention for Giannis again if Giannis doesn't take that 5-year deal from the Bucks. Maybe Dallas is one of those teams as well. Maybe Dallas is one of those teams because there's some questions with Kristaps Porzingis. Injury-wise, he's going to miss some time to start the regular season. You know Luka Doncic is going to put up MVP numbers this year, and that brings me to, you know, where the MVP race is going to go this season, because it is going to be, like the bubble, very different. It's going to have a different feel to it, 72 games. Schedule's going to be a little more compact. You won't have teams going 82, which is going to change things a little bit. You've also have got a team and your defending champion and also your defending Eastern Conference champion, the Nuggets and the Celtics as well, that are going to be battling fatigue because the turnaround is so bloody quick. October the 10th to December the 22nd isn't all that long. So that leads me to believe that there's going to be guys who will be rested. There are going to be teams that are going to be picking their spots with their stars. The Lakers would be one of them, and the reason I say that is because Rob Pelinka was aggressive in free agency, luring Montrezl Harrell away from the Clippers, trading for Dennis Schroeder from the Oklahoma City Thunder. That is a bench-scoring unit right there that is going to take a hell of a lot of pressure off LeBron James. The Lakers were great all season. They went 16-5 in the playoffs, but that was a flawed roster, and now they are better. Maybe they lose something defensively there, but they are better on the offensive side of the ball. You've got Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell running pick and rolls. Wesley Matthews defensively making up for the loss of Danny Green. Schroeder averaged 18 points a game last year. Montrezl Harrell's a walking 18-9. Maybe Harrell's not the best defensive big man you want, but guess what? You've got the ultimate eraser back there in Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis cleans up any mess. In fact, I would make Anthony Davis my lead candidate for potential defensive player of the year, depending on how many games that he plays. It's a 72-game season. I would be surprised if both LeBron and AD played more than 60. I think the Lakers are going to be really careful with this. I think they're really going to pick their spots, and that's the reason that Rob Pelinka had to go out and add the depth that he did. He had to go out and get a guy like Marc Gasol on a 2-year deal. That's a great move for the Lakers. You don't have to ask him to be defensive player of the year, Marc Gasol. You don't even have to ask him necessarily to be 2019 finals, Marc Gasol. You don't. You really don't. You just need him to set some screens, run the offense out of the high post when LeBron or AD takes a break, and score about 8 to 10 points a game. That's all you need. That's all you need. Also, Gasol has incredible basketball IQ. He's a great team guy, great guy in the room. One of the big things with the Lakers and their success was their chemistry and how they keep that, how they maintain that. Maybe they don't bring back Jared Dudley. That'd be a bit of a loss on the chemistry side of things. They had to trade JaVale McGee in order to bring Marc Gasol in, so that hurts the chemistry angle a little bit, but Gasol is going to be able to play. Dwight Howard couldn't play in two of the four playoff rounds this postseason, couldn't play against Houston, and essentially was reduced to just being a goon in the finals against Miami. They couldn't play him either. Got to the point where Frank Vogel had to start Alex Caruso in Game 6. Alex Caruso is a good player, but now you're in a situation where you've got a Montrezl Harrell, a Dennis Schroeder, Marc Gasol, Wesley Matthews. This is a Laker team that got better, and that's going to make the top of the West all that more tough. The Clippers may have solved some chemistry issues as well, signing Serge Ibaka. Clippers had all the talent in the world. They got one of the best players in the world, but in terms of leadership, culture, that kind of thing, being a good guy in the room, you can't do much better than Serge Ibaka. You can't. And of course, Serge Ibaka and Kawhi Leonard have a history together. You lose Montrezl Harrell, but Montrezl Harrell got eaten up defensively in the bubble, did not play well in Orlando. Now you got a guy in Serge who can give you Harrell-esque numbers, maybe not every night, but on a good night. You get 15-9 from Serge, that kind of thing. He's a good defender, still a good defender. Space the floor a little bit, shoot threes, offers you some size and some length. That's a perfect move for the Clippers. And they trade for Luke Kennard on draft night to replace Landry Shamet. Kennard can play when he's healthy. One of the best lefties in the NBA. You know, I love left-handed players. Kennard is one of the best. So the Lakers probably win the offseason, but the Clippers certainly improved. They certainly filled their weaknesses. The Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference had money to spend, and they weren't afraid to spend it. Give them some credit there for going for it in an Eastern Conference that, again, is probably top-heavy. Might as well take your shot while Trae Young is on his rookie contract still. Bring in a guy like Danilo Gallinari. Have a guy there like John Collins. Bring in a guy like Bogdan Bogdanovic. Those are a couple of playmakers right there in Gallo and Bogdanovic that can take the heat off of Trae Young in year three. And again, you've got Trae Young and his rookie deal. Maybe you make some noise in the Eastern Conference. Rajon Rondo as well was at it. That's another guy who can be a playmaker. Now, we know that Rondo is not much of a regular season player anymore, but if you get him into the playoffs as a 6 or 7 seed against, the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Steve Nash, he can be effective. You want guys like that, not for the regular season. You don't want regular season Rondo. That ship has sailed. You want playoff Rondo. We saw that with the Lakers this past year. Philadelphia 76ers signed Dwight Howard. Dwight can give you a little bit. Philly needed center depth after the changes were made. Al Horford was shipped out of town almost immediately by Daryl Morey. What an offseason the Sixers have had. Dwight Howard, Danny Green, Seth Curry. All Daryl Morey had to do was get Simmons and Embiid some shooters. He did that. And he's got center depth and athleticism behind Joel Embiid defensively. Dwight Howard can do all the things defensively for Joel Embiid that he did for Anthony Davis in the regular season. I don't know if that helps in the playoffs, though, because, like I said, Dwight only played two of the four playoff rounds in a Los Angeles uniform. But he can help as well. A lot of contending teams made some good moves. And then, of course, the Pistons just lost free agency. They went out and signed all the centers. And they just signed all the big men. I'm surprised they didn't sign Dwight Howard. They got all the other centers. I don't know what they're doing in Detroit. They drafted Killian Hayes. That's a great sign. Killian Hayes is a good player. Went seventh overall. Could have been top three easily. So Killian Hayes is your point guard of the future, but you're going to surround him with a bunch of centers. And you also let Christian Wood walk out the door to the Houston Rockets, which, if Harden sticks around, is a sneaky good move for Houston. Wood has the potential to be a future star, given his length and what he can do on the perimeter, switchability on defense as well. So some teams made some great moves. Others, like the Pistons, did not. But again, that takes us back to what the MVP race is going to look like. And I've got three players in the Western Conference who stand out to me because, you know, keep in mind with all these great tandems in the West, you're going to have guys who siphon votes from one another. LeBron and AD is a situation like that. Kawhi and Paul George, I was going to say Prince George. Kawhi and Paul George is a situation like that too with the Clippers as well. You're going to have guys who siphon votes from one another. You're also going to have teams where they have a clear-cut number one, and in order for that team to be successful, they need those guys to perform. And there's three teams like that in the West that stand out to me. Therefore, there are three viable MVP candidates all in the Western Conference that stand out, the first one being Dame Lillard. Damian Lillard. I think this is the year where he gets that serious MVP buzz, that serious MVP consideration, because CJ McCollum's a great player, but he is definitely the 1B to Dame. And now Neil Olshey and the Blazers have gone out and made the moves to make this team work. Defensively, anyway. What did they need last year? They needed a defensive wing. They went out and got that. They traded for Robert Covington from the Houston Rockets. They've already got Yusuf Nurkic defensively, right? They went out and got Enes Kanter, who's already played in Portland, well-liked in Portland. They go out and sign Harry Giles on a very team-friendly contract. This team got better. And when you consider that some of the other contenders at the top of the conference that did not get eliminated in the opening round might be, you know, resting some of their stars, maybe this is an avenue for the Blazers to become a two or a three seed in the Western Conference. Talk about a tandem that would cancel each other out in terms of siphoning votes in Denver. You've got Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. If the Nuggets are a one seed, then who's your MVP candidate? It's hard to say. It would probably be Jokic, but it could be very easily Jamal Murray if he continues to play the way that he did in the bubble. But again, those two would cancel each other out. So my second MVP candidate would be Luka Doncic. Because talking about teams that have won or lost in free agency, the Mavericks lost a little bit. Now they lose Seth Curry, one of the great knockdown shooters in the NBA. Kristaps Porzingis is going to miss some time once again to start the season. We have no doubt that Luka Doncic is going to be in a situation where he's putting up 33, 16, and 12 every night for the Mavericks to be competitive. And if the Mavericks are a top five seed in the Western Conference, yeah. Luka's going to be right there. And Luka will win an MVP one day. He will win an MVP award one day. That's coming. And it may be this year. It may be this year. Because in order for the Mavericks to be competitive and to be as, you know, impressive as they looked at times last year, Luka's going to have to do that every night. Every night. None of this play 57 games to keep him fresh. No, he's going to have to do it every night. 33, 16, and 12. I would not be surprised if Luka averaged a triple-double this season. Averaged. We saw Russell Westbrook do it a couple years ago. Would not be surprised at all if Luka did it. Now, my third member of the Western Conference that could be in the MVP conversation, we've seen him win the MVP before. He's coming back. He's healthy. He's armed with the second overall pick in James Wiseman. Draymond Green is healthy. Klay Thompson is not. But that's why Stephen Curry could be a clear-cut MVP candidate if the Warriors play at a level where they battle through a very difficult Pacific Division and get through a very difficult Western Conference to get maybe a top 4 or 5 seed, maybe even a 6 seed. Even if the Warriors were a 6 seed, maybe you consider Stephen Curry as your MVP. Because now you don't have Klay in the backcourt. Draymond is healthy, and you've got the second overall pick in James Wiseman, a young center who will be a fine rim runner. And really, this is a great scenario for Wiseman to step into because he doesn't have to be the man. Even before the Klay injury, which we learned of kind of on Wednesday on draft night, and that put the Warriors in a tough spot because we thought, well, if Klay goes down, what do? Do they draft LaMelo Ball maybe because Minnesota took Anthony Edwards number one? Do they go LaMelo? They obviously didn't. They still went with James Wiseman, and then we learned the next day that Klay would miss the entire season with the Achilles tear. But you put Steph with a healthy Draymond, and now they've got Kelly Oubre, who they got in a trade last week from the Phoenix Suns, James Wiseman. You know, that's Andrew Wiggins. Almost forgot about Andrew Wiggins. He's still on that team. If they compete and Steph puts up a 50-40-90 season and averages 31 a game, how could you not consider him for MVP? Those are your three guys in the West because everybody else is going to siphon votes. Dame Lillard, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, those are your three in the West. And then in the East, it's a little more clear-cut. Again, KD and Kyrie going to cancel each other out. Giannis, probably. Maybe Giannis wins 3 in a row. Maybe Giannis is the victim of voter fatigue. We've seen that in the past, where media members don't want to vote for Michael Jordan or LeBron James anymore. Do they want to go 3 straight with Giannis? Maybe, maybe not. Does Trae Young make that leap? Does Trae Young push the Atlanta Hawks to a 3 or 4 seed in the Eastern Conference, given the money that, you know, Atlanta ownership has spent to make sure that Trae can be successful here in year 3 with Danilo Gallinari and Bogdan Bogdanovic and Rajon Rondo? Will that be enough? Can Trae be that guy? Well, we're less than a month away from starting to figure it out. Less than a month away. Training camp starting about a week, and we're less than a month away from the start of the regular season. It has been a great last few days with free agency and the draft. We can start to look ahead to a new year that gets underway on December the 22nd. We'll talk to you again next week. My name is Marcus Fitzgerald. You can find me on Twitter at Marcus Fitzy. You can check us out at our Basketball Central page on our website, sportsnet.ca/650. Take care. Have a great night. You've got it on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.